Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is Tuesday, June the 13th, 2017, and my name is S.M. Gibson. You are listening to Anti-Media Radio. Wow, what a show we had today. I had a lot of topics lined up for everybody tonight, but I don't recollect them. I don't recall them. So we're just going to go ahead and get on to Mr. Shannon Madden, our co-host for the evening. Shannon, what is up?
Shannon, sorry, Shannon. I had some technical difficulties there. Sorry, I had to scramble for a second. You caught me with my pants down. I was waiting for you to finish your intro. I've done pretty good. I did some stuff today, but I can't recall what it was.
Yeah, for those of you who missed Jeff Sessions today giving testimony over...
I mean, we've seen him in sound bites, but I don't think the rest of the nation has gotten heaping helpings of Jeff Sessions, kind of like we've gotten here in Alabama over the years. So, yeah, I think the whole nation, if you think about the trajectory of his rise to the, you know, national government, federal government prominence, you know, a lot of folks just caught a sound bite here or a clip here or something like that. I don't think the American public has had a heaping helping of Jeff Sessions. What? How do you think he did?
I actually think he did fantastic, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it was a big show. Nothing happened other than Jeff Sessions dodging a bunch of questions. The Dodge-a-thon, as I like to call it. They should have given away a Ram truck at the end of it. But it was, you know, it was good for ratings, and it was good for people to be talking about something that is irrelevant and doesn't matter. And for the people that are upset about how today went because he was dodging a bunch of questions and, oh, it's crooked, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? That's politics. If you're just realizing now in 2017 that this is what politicians do, I don't care if you're Republican, I don't care if you're a Democrat, this is how it goes. And as usual, just like Comey, just like if it would have been, just like when Hillary testified, okay, you always get the left going, oh man, my team did great. My team did amazing. Did you see that? They destroyed them. And then the other side going, oh, man, our guys did great. We destroyed them. That was fantastic. Both sides come away thinking they've won something. I don't know what you're meant to have won in this situation. It's just.
And meanwhile, overseas, we have innocent women and children holding their hands over their heads saying, oh, my gosh. Oh, please. I hope they don't win.
it gets better when that. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But as far as the actual theater that went on, yeah, it was fine. It was a good show, and everybody got some good ratings out of it. Other than that, I don't know what was accomplished other than, you know, look, we live in a world where Donald Trump is president. We have Dennis Rodman going on goodwill missions to North Korea, and coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally, we have U.S. citizens, which are prisoners, being released, which happened today. Was a prisoner who's been held in North Korea for quite some time. A young man that was arrested for tearing a poster down in a Pyongyang hotel room or hotel, whatever, and was arrested for it. And now he has been released. He is in a coma. Nobody quite knows how or why he's in a coma, but
they don't recall.
They don't recall or recollect. That's correct. But yeah, is it coincidental that Dennis Rodman was over there when that happened? I don't know. It sure is odd timing, but that's the way things go, and that's the world we live in. And it's great to mention that Dennis Rodman was actually a member of the NWO and WCW all many years ago, and we have a WWE Hall of Famer as president. So let the cycle of theater in this post-satire world continue. That's what I think about Jeff Sessions and everything that's being shoved down people's throats in mainstream media right now. It's a joke. But what's new? It's really nothing new. I find it just amazing how upset people were getting today about the hearings. It's like, have you never kept up with politics? Are you that gullible and delusional?
Have you never ever heard anything that Jeff Sessions has ever said ever?
What does it have
Come
to
on
do?
Now.
First off, correct with Jeff Sessions, but what does it have to do with Jeff Sessions? Pick a politician. 95% of them. You can just pick one, and that's what you're going to get. What happened today. It's irrelevant to who's up there. It's irrelevant to if it's Democrat, Republican. Look, especially when you have somebody that's a long-term politician like Jeff Sessions is, they know the game. They know how to dance around and weasel around and make a spectacle out of it. I don't recall. I don't remember. Maybe. I mean, if it could have happened, just don't remember it. We'll see. Who knows? Just a big shrug and this big laugh. And at the end of it, they go chug a few beers together. It's a farce. It's a complete farce. But that's the world we live in. And it's been going
on. You know what is relevant in all of this? I mean, what really is, I mean, at the very core of all of this? I can't recall. I was you know, talking to somebody about this a little earlier. I really need to just implement that in my daily, you know, linguistics throughout the whole entire day. Just, I don't recall.
That's it. I mean,
hey, did you take trash out today? I don't recall. You know,
here's
it kind of rolls off the tongue. The more you say it, the easier it becomes.
It's great. Cool. People should figure out how to do it. I mean, you know,
I should run for president. That'd be awesome.
You might as well. Actually, you probably need to spend some time in the WWE or get to, you know, hang out with The Rock or something. But I tell you what, I want to move on from all this nonsense and talk about something very important that happened today. Quite ironically, on the floor of the U.S. Senate, Rand Paul has been touting and proposed a bill. Senator Rand Paul from the state of Kentucky. I know people have mixed feelings on him, but you know, that's beside the point. I believe what he did today was very admirable. He had a bill to stop Donald Trump's funding of Saudi Arabia. He gave about a 20-something minute odd speech on the floor of the Senate. I highly recommend that everybody go watch this video of Ron Paul speaking today on the floor of the U.S. Senate. We actually have it right now on the front page of the antimedia.org. If you want to go to the third column on the right-hand side under My News, we actually have it. It's two articles down, must watch, Rand Paul's speech on Saudi Arabia arms deal. He laid it out and didn't mince words when talking about Saudi Arabia and their crimes in Yemen, their current ongoings with Qatar, with, you know, who knows where that's going. Plus with their connections to 9/11, but the Yemen being the most important. because they're starving the people in Yemen right now. They've just been butchering them. We know that they've funded ISIS. He brought that up today. Made a very clear point that basically by funding, this is what's so amazing to me, is we had a United States senator today on the floor of the Senate make a very, very not just compelling, but airtight, ironclad case that the United States is, with full knowledge, funding terrorism. And it wasn't covered. We covered Jeff Sessions. That's all the world wanted to talk about. That's all CNN and Fox and MSNBC had to talk about. We didn't talk about the senator that's like, hey, yeah, by the way, while you're looking at this circus, we're funding terrorism, and I'm sitting here doing my best to try to stop it. And he presented a bill where the Saudi arms deal would not go through. Unfortunately, which is not much as a surprise, it did not pass. What was a little bit surprising, at least to me, was it lost only by vote of 47 to 53, which these kind of things
are
usually not that close.
Yeah, usually something that's kind of, you know, I guess you could say one of these crazy, far-fetched Rand Paul's on one of his rant things usually gets shut down pretty quickly. In fact, most of the time doesn't even get a chance to go to vote.
Well, so Rand Paul, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that right there is it's a very positive sign, at least, that we are sensing a shift in policy to a certain degree. And I think that has a lot to do with public perception of government as a whole.
I think a lot of it has to do with Trump, to be honest. And I'll tell you,
when you get pinned come, you know, come time for your whatever election, or your congressional election, or the elections in your district, and you get pinned on that question, well, hey, I voted for that one thing, now come on. You know, I am about liberty and I am about justice, you know, and we saw this with Trump. We see Hillary trying to, you know, somehow, some kind of way do it and call herself an activist now. And you're going to start seeing this. I personally, this is something that kind of surprised me at first, but now the more I hear about it and the more I hear other politicians kind of sort of getting in line with it, but still making sure that the vote keeps business running as usual. Again, it's a show. The whole thing's a show.
Well, let me run down real quick kind of the details of what happened today. And this is why, and maybe not, maybe people are finally waking up to this, and I hope that's what it is. But for me,
well, I wouldn't say necessarily awake. I think that the government is full aware that you know, half of Americans that didn't vote, that could have voted in that last election and chose to stay home for whatever reason. I've said it repeatedly. That was the clear winner in this last election, and that was nobody. And
we know that.
Everybody's trying to steal them votes away from nobody, because a vote for nobody is a vote for anybody, right?
No, it certainly
could be. You know.
So we saw today with the bill. For those of you who aren't aware, if you're listening and you don't know, Trump has recently negotiated $110 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia. It was mostly Democrats that supported this bill. It was actually authored not just by Rand Paul, but also Senator Chris Murphy. And only four Republicans voted against the weapons deal, and the rest of the Republican Party said it's okay. And when you hear Rand's argument, which anybody that listens to this show already knows that argument very well, and you know what Saudi Arabia has been doing and is up to, because I talk about it ad nauseum, and it probably gets very old, but he made a very, very, very compelling case. And so only four voted against this deal, where the rest of it was 49 Democrats voted, or let's see, 43 Democrats voted against it. But five Democrats, this is important, five, and it lost by six votes, five Democrats voted for the deal. Surprisingly enough, Bill Nelson, Claire McCaskill, Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, and Mark Warner. So congratulations, everybody. You're all for terrorism. The 53 senators who voted for this today just signed off on terrorism. That's 100% what they did. But then you have absolutely ridiculous statements being said by some of the other senators. After the vote, Paul said that he and Murphy would discuss possible future attempts to block Trump's arms deals with Riyadh, warning that senators are growing more concerned about the civilian death toll in the Yemen conflict. But before that happens, there needs to be a period of time to see if there is a change in Saudi warfare tactics. For example, if Saudi Arabia plans on launching an assault in Qatar anytime soon, which, again, we're just kind of in a stalemate, wait and see what happens with that.
We got to get all these checks cashed first before we can go ahead and start. Yeah, yeah, got to make sure your money's right before you start invading another country again.
But we had Mitch McConnell, who claimed that this will help Saudi Arabia fight ISIS and serve as a check on Iran, while Bob Corker, which when I lived in Tennessee for a while, and he's one of the senators in Tennessee, and he just makes me want to gag myself. He's horrible. He said there is no classified intelligence that shows they have ever intentionally bombed civilians, speaking of Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, intelligence down there shows that they didn't. So this is a U.S. senator that's saying that he doesn't believe that Saudi Arabia has ever intentionally...
Whoa. He doesn't recall.
He doesn't recall. I don't recollect that. Bob Corker told reporters before the vote, describing the attempted blockade of the sales as cutting your nose to spite your face.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're dealing with, that we have people in the pockets of the arms industry to such a level they are signing off on famine. And to suggest that we want to go into Syria or whatever, Iraq and Afghanistan or Libya, whatever the country is, that we're going to go and attack these countries for some human rights reasons. Meanwhile, 53 U.S. senators today just said all that stuff we talk about, that's all cool, and we're just going to help continue funding it. There had actually been, for a while, there had been little information on the specifics of what was going to be included, but we now know that there is going to be over 100,000 air-to-ground munitions and billions of dollars worth of new aircraft. And it will also include 7 THAAD terminal high altitude air defense missile systems included. So they're getting pretty stocked up here. They're not just it's not just a few, you know, machine guns we're sending their way.
Yeah, a couple rifles and a few boxes of cartridge.
That's right.
Cartridges, yeah. Well,
I highly implore everyone, though, to watch Rand Paul's speech today. It's the best case you're going to hear any politician make about it. And thankfully, 47 people stood up for something with common sense. And again, maybe it's just because they are Democrats and they're just voting against but what Trump's doing, even though
I don't know. I think we're going to see things like this become a little bit more popular, not popular enough to actually, you know, become any kind of anything come out of it. Business as usual is still going to continue to run. The thing I'm pointing at,
we are getting close to that moment. And look, it goes like we talked about last week with Jeremy Corbyn. And I told you, I really thought, and while I have a lot of disagreements with Jeremy Corbyn, it looks like, even though that people thought, oh, he's going to become the prime minister, and it was like a Bernie Sanders, possibly, that, you know, he said this stuff for so long, it looks like he would actually do something about it, especially when it comes to Saudi Arabia. So what do? They do everything in their power to keep him from becoming prime minister, because they can't risk that. They don't want it. So, you're right in the regards they'll play any card necessary to keep changes from being enacted if they can't control the person doing it.
Well, and that's what I think it is. I think it's a puppet show off to the side of these you know, suddenly these politicians that have gotten quote unquote woke, you know, are now suddenly going to go ahead and, okay, well, yeah, we did vote all those other times to send money to Saudi Arabia, but you know what? Maybe it's time for me to make a difference. Yeah. I don't see much heart in that at all. And yeah, it could have been against party lines. I think that it's something that's going to be included in campaign speeches as far as what I voted for and what I'm trying to stop and what I'm trying to prevent. Now, whether that actually happens or not, if those people get elected, no, it won't. It's not the company narrative right now. Company narrative is war with the Middle East, war with Russia, war with Iran, war with everybody, war.
Well, the anti-war Democrats, the anti-war left is magically going to start reappearing more and more and more, I think, now that Trump's president. You still haven't really seen it in full effect because they're still moaning on about tweets and about Russia and about taxes.
Yeah, they're highly distracted at the moment, and the, you know, the right just is tickled to death by that.
Yeah, I mean, and this kind of stuff is getting passed. Like, this should have been one of the top stories today in any reputable media outlet. And, of course, it wasn't, because we had to talk about this absolute show that went on Capitol Hill with Jeff Sessions. Speaking of, though, with Saudi Arabia, I want to bring up another story right now. It is on the front page of antimedia.org. And it is under the My News section. Consulate of Saudi Arabia posted bail for suspect who cut off his ankle monitor. Now, this is really interesting. And it's like, it's Saudi Arabia is just doing what they want, how they want, with both middle fingers up, out in the open. And there's a few of us screaming our heads off, and has been for a while, but for the most of Americans, again, they're concerned about Russia or something they saw on TV. A man accused of fatally striking a Portland teen with his car in August of 2016 has removed his GPS monitoring device while on bail. Portland police officer actively searching for the Saudi native, who is 21 years old, who is reportedly bailed out by the consulate of Saudi Arabia. KOIN in Oregon reported Saudi Arabia posted the $100,000 bail for the young man. He had been under close street supervision ever since, but reportedly removed his electronic monitoring device on June 11th. He is not home, and our attempts to locate him have been unsuccessful. He is accordingly in violation of his pretrial release conditions to abide by GPS monitoring requirements and house arrest. Now, we'll see if this young man resurfaces and they do find him. Me being the, you can call it pessimist, you can call it realist, you can call it whatever you like. If I had to guess, I would assume that he's probably somewhere in Saudi Arabia right now. Maybe not. Possibly not. We'll see. But if I had to guess, that's what I would guess.
I'm kind of curious who is this guy? Is he that? Who is this guy that he's important enough for them to first off post bail for $100,000?
He's a 21-year-old Saudi native.
He's somebody, or his daddy's somebody, because you know that's that. Even for Saudi Arabia to try to protect one of their own, that's kind of a stretch.
You are correct. And I will say this, you have now given me a mission, and tomorrow I'm going to go down this rabbit hole and seeing if we can connect the dots here.
And again, we have started opening rabbit holes on the show before. Some of these things we talk about absolutely lead to nothing, but my initial reaction, just, you know, common sense and what I know about American law and people be in trouble and bail and all that other stuff. I mean, you know, we've all got that one family member that's always been in and out of trouble, and you have to become familiar with that sort of thing in modern day 2017 America. Now, having said all that, you know, yeah, the charges are pretty bad. He was released on $100,000 bail. Do you realize how important somebody has to be to you for you to even consider taking care of $100,000 bail?
Well, again, we're talking about Saudi Arabia, and that's like spending 50 cents to them. But it is unusual. I don't think they're going to do that for
money's money. I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia's hurting for money. That's why we're sending all those, you know, $100 billion of weapons over there.
Yeah, they're not hurting for money.
No money.
Yeah, they're definitely not hurting. If anything, they're not hurting for, it's money. They're hurting for
They're not. They're certainly not hurting for money. But still, who is important enough to just throw out $100,000, even if it is
money? That's a great, you're right. Who that's a great question.
$100,000 American is still a, you know, that's well, I really hate to see you in this kind of trouble. I think you need to get out of jail and get you a lawyer and get your life straight and so on and so forth. I'll put my house up on the market. I mean, that's that, and, you know, to put it in perspective, as far as the average American going and getting a family member that gets in similar trouble out of jail, they'd have to put their house up or sign their house over to somebody to promise that they would show up for court and obey the court's orders and go through the whole process and yada, yada.
I don't think it's more of the money in this situation, is more of the why, because I don't think that Saudi Arabia is probably bailing out every single 20-year-old in the country, in the United States, that hits
Saudi national too. And there are, you know, there are, I would figure at least, I mean, it would be a total guess as to how many people his age group that are Saudi nationals here in America, but it's more than one, I'm sure.
There's many 20-year-old, 21-year-old Saudi nationals inside Saudi Arabia that have been locked up for protesting. So, and yet this guy killed somebody with a car and they're bailing him out. It is interesting, and I wonder if you read
the whole entire story, he was driving like a jackass to begin with. So, I mean, it was bad. I mean, he really, yeah, that's kind of why they threw the book at him as far as, you know, the vehicular manslaughter and all that other stuff. You know, he had already swerved past several cars before then, almost getting in another wreck before he had the wreck that caused the teen to die. So, yeah, very willful. Don't know if he was under the influence of anything. I didn't read through the whole entire list of charges, but. Yeah, still, to get to go bail somebody out of jail or even go through the trouble of it, he definitely has to be connected to somebody. At least that's my initial feeling.
Yeah, common sense would dictate that it's at least a possibility. I'm going to move a little bit further over in the Middle East now and get off Saudi Arabia just for a minute. And this is another I would have expected, you know, in the world of reality, this should be a very, very huge, massive story. But in this post-satire, ridiculous theater of Vince McMahon-run world we are now residing in, it barely makes a blip and it is barely reported by anyone anywhere. It is actually up right now on the front page of the antimedia.org under the very first-hand column of their news. Or our news. So let me say it right.
Somebody's news.
It's somebody's news. It's news, I'll tell you that much. And it's actually originally a story from antiwar.com, an absolute great website as well. And I highly encourage people to check that out if you're trying to keep up with everything that is going on with U.S. foreign policy that is barely reported almost anywhere. Just the headline alone should tell you just how tragic this was. U.S. troops kill two 10-year-old boys and their father in an aimless shooting incident. Now, it's a little bit deeper than that with the story, and you kind of understand a little bit from the troops' reaction. What happened was a U.S. military convoy in Afghanistan was hit by a roadside bomb. The Pentagon was quick to insist that no one was wounded in the incident. However, in the immediate aftermath of the incident, the soldiers jumped out of the vehicle and just started aimlessly shooting their weapons off. They happened to kill three civilians. They were firing indiscriminately, according to Afghan police, who say that the U.S. gunfire killed a brick worker and two of his children, both 10-year-old boys. A third son, who was present at the scene, survived, running to get help. although by the time he returned, everyone else was dead. Relatives of the three slain say that this is the second time U.S. troops, listen to this very closely, Shannon. Relatives say this is the second time U.S. troops have killed members of this family in the past 12 months. And during another incident last year, U.S. troops killed another four members of the exact same family, including the brother of the two 10-year-old boys, who was 6 years old at the time, and the son of another son of the man who, the bricklayer who died. Though Afghan officials have confirmed the incident, the Pentagon insisted that they have heard no official word, and they believe that the troops firing wildly after a roadside bombing amounted to self-defense at any rate. Now, it's very complicated because I will say I can understand why being involved in a roadside bomb, you're going to get out and start firing a weapon. That does make sense. That's just basic common sense that your human reaction would go to that. This isn't just a case. If the details we're hearing are true and everything is checks out, I don't think this is a case of just saying, well, they just murdered these people. There's so much involved in this. Like, you have to ask the question for the millionth time.
Why are we in Afghanistan?
Why are we even in Afghanistan?
Yeah, you can't even ask that question. What happened, right or wrong? You know, if you want to get down to who's responsible for all of this, it's us. Right.
That's correct.
It's every single person listening here that lives in the borders of the United States that has allowed and continues to allow this to happen. Our troops should not be over there being put in situations like that to begin with.
And for people that want to say, well, what can I do? Look, you may feel like it's not much, but it's something to call your representatives. The only thing they fear is not having power, because that's all that they lust for is power. Call your representative and say, guess what? This is what I want to happen, and that's for us not to bomb people anymore. And if you do not abide by what your constituents want, I will never, ever vote for you. And I will make sure everybody I know is never votes for you. They get enough of these phone calls, they will flip, because they want to stay where they're at.
But they flip, and then next thing you know, we're at war with Syria again.
You're 100% correct. They just wait for it to die.
All they do is buy their time, wait till everybody else is paying attention to the next little firework or distraction that they've thrown out in the middle of the street, and then they'll go ahead and we're at war with Syria.
You're 100% correct with that, and you're going to see that with, you know, anything that they really want to shove through. You're going to see that agenda eventually try to be passed through, and they're going to try to do it very quietly and discreetly so the American people aren't paying attention.
These days, they'll do it completely out in the open, but at the same time, when everybody's fixing to have any kind of feeling about it or what this, that, the other, then Trump tweets something. So, you know.
Today. But this, you know, this happened for 8 years under Obama, and nobody said a word, and it was different distractions that they would use.
Oh, Trump, because if you had anything to say about that, you were a racist automatically, or you were very insensitive, or you were just trying to prevent the president from doing his job, or freedom, or, you know, insert whatever, you know.
Or just that generally, that's not true. You get a lot of that from people that were just, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. Or better yet,
I don't recall.
Or I don't recollect that. Yeah. But it's a terrible incident, because now we have two 10-year-old boys dead and their father. Another family grieves. If you do not believe that a family in Afghanistan that has no ill will towards anyone loses seven members of their family to a country, a 6-year-old and two 10-year-olds, and you don't think there's members of that family that are going to become radicalized and try to attack the people that did this to them, this is called blowback. This is how terrorists spring up. This is what the majority of people that are fighting the United States are fighting against.
Because look, let's flip the narrative for a second. Let's say that we're over there in that village. The bombs come raining down. We actually see the terror that we heard about over at the temple or the mosque or wherever from whatever religious leader. And all they have to do is wag their finger. Say, I told you so. I told you they're the enemy, blah, blah, this, that, and the other. Let me go ahead and put my narrative in here because I want you to do this and I want blah, blah, so on and so forth. And it's, I mean, it's already, it's a perfect storm. And the United States government knows this, and they throw middle fingers up either direction. They're there to make money at all costs.
Well, we saw it today, again, going back to the Saudi arms deal in the Senate. We saw it today. Rand Paul, go watch that speech. He makes a case how anybody could vote for it after what he points out to them. It is beyond me. These people should be in prison for voting for this just on human rights abuses. It's insane that he pointed out, went down the list. They're knowingly supporting terrorism, knowingly doing it. They're knowingly supporting a mass starvation of the people in Yemen. They know it. They know it for a fact that they're doing it. They don't care. They don't care.
Hey, look, Rand Paul is not paying them near as much or giving them near as much favors and influences, all the lobbyists and all of the other different people that are connected with the weapons manufacturers, that are connected through the upper echelons of the government. We're talking about stockholders here, people that stand to make real hard money out of these wars and these conflicts that are, I mean, just slaughtering innocent people left and right and creating the terrorists that you know, we have done everything that we can and we've thrown so much money at to eradicate, and they're still there. Other countries have gotten involved in that, and they're starting to shoot at them and kill them, and they're still there.
And this is what's so amazing to me. If you cannot get a group of 100 people to agree on something so simple and to do the right thing on something that is rarely in politics, very black and white situation, there's a lot of people dying, and they're all being funded by this one country. Oh, yeah, you know that thing that they shoved down our face for 15 years, 9/11, and the reason that you get spied on, the reason you get groped at the airport? They were involved in that, too. And, yeah, these people today said, that's right, we're still going to just continue funding this madness. And I think even
all in the name of safety and freedom, too.
I think Rand even referred to them as barbarians today.
Like, and he's correct.
Yeah, it's that level. And again, it's not something where you can just sit here and give this blanket statement of, oh, it's the whole country of Saudi Arabia. It's a lot of the country of Saudi Arabia. But look, there's people inside that country that are innocent to all this. This is the thing about it. You have to remember, and this is the problem that I think people get into, whether they're talking about whatever they're talking about. You get into, what's all this or it's all that. It's the government. And it's the power structure. And of it's the money and the influence, and it is well documented, which we could take up 8 shows documenting that Saudi Arabia does what it wants. And this, it's part of the reason that I talk about it so much and harp on it so much. It is such an easy answer. Like, if you cannot get people to do the right thing on this, you're not going to get them to do the right thing on anything.
Because it should also underscore the fact that they're not here to do the will of the people. They're not here for the best interest of America. They're there solely to make their own money or make somebody else some money so they'll make them some money.
That's
what those 53 votes were about. Somebody already told them that the vote was already locked in long before that discussion was made. Rand knew it. That's why he brought it up. He knew that the vote was already cast, but he went ahead and dressed them down as well he should have. They are barbaric. They are barbarians, and unfortunately, we've allowed this to happen.
Well, our government certainly has, because they funded it, they've supplied the weapons for it, and they've let anything that Saudi Arabia
does. And what I'm saying is, through our tax dollars, we've allowed this to happen.
Well, We have and we haven't. And I will say, because there is this, because we say we've allowed it and we haven't allowed it. And yes, you can certainly go down the road of tax dollars. But at the same time, it's like you mentioned earlier, if they've got something in their head, they're going to do it one way or another. It's just, do they have to wait a little bit longer to get the job done, basically? If people do throw a fit over something, or they do stand up for something and say, hey, we don't want this, they just wait 6, 12 months, 18 months, whatever it is, and while everybody's distracted by something else, they just go ahead and do it anyway. And we've seen that with Syria. We have seen, look, let's not get into, we talk about chemical weapons, and we've talked about chemical weapons in Iraq, and we've talked about chemical weapons in Syria. When I say we, I mean the U.S. propaganda machine, media, and the politicians, and they talk about these chemical weapons as an excuse to just blow everybody apart. Meanwhile, we have used white phosphorus. It appears that we're using it in Syria. It also appears that Iraq is using it in Mosul, which are our supposed great allies over there. We're talking about the Iraqi army. We're not talking about ISIS or whatever. We're talking about people that would have access to this. It's disgusting, and nobody even mentions it. Nobody says a word about it.
Really quick, though, I want to throw out a plug for last night's show with Nick. Need to check out the, speaking of white phosphorus, pretty much did a whole show on it. Very informed conversation, I might add. Check it out on YouTube, at our anti-media, page with UGY.
Good yeah. stuff. And they had Justin King on, talked about it as well.
That guy. Wow. That guy's, he's a superstar.
He is that. But, you know, to me, that right there is, the biggest stuff to be concerned about, because that is what's life and death. And there's so many things that we talk that's life and death, this and that, yada, 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 right, left, life, death, right, left, whatever. But we're actively seeing U.S. funded murders, and we're just brushing it off. And we're just like, whatever. And we're seeing the United States commit the exact same crimes that we accuse others of committing. And then we see the United States actively funding and supporting the very thing that we say that we are fighting against. It's not only hypocritical, it's pure disgustingly evil, because they're knowingly doing it. They're knowingly letting it happen, allowing it to happen, not letting it happen. They're actively voting for this stuff to happen, as we saw today. Is it going to come to an end? I don't know. But, you know, we've got Jeff Sessions to talk about. Hooray. Jeff Sessions, Russia. Jeff Sessions, Russia. James Comey, Trump, Trump, Trump. Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. You know, everybody wants to talk about how they're woke, or they're this, or they're that, whatever that means. If what people pass off as being quote unquote woke, which makes me want to punch my hand through the wall when I hear that term, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, most of these people are the people that rallied around Hillary Clinton and thought she was the answer. And just, you know, detest Trump at every level, which is fine. Look, I get it. I understand the whole thing about Trump to a degree. Most of the stuff you go after him for is kind of ludicrous, but there's definitely a ton to complain about, as we've discussed in great length tonight. But Hillary Clinton would have done all this exact same stuff, every single bit of it.
Just a few months sooner.
Yeah, and she was bragging about all of it as she ran for president. So please spare me how enlightened you are if you think that getting in some establishment candidate is the answer. Forgive me if I don't take you seriously and disregard everything that comes out of your mouth. But look, that's people today. They think they have all the answers for everything. And the only true legitimate answer there is none of us have the answers for any of this, because it is so widespread, so complex, the corruption is so deeply rooted into the system that there's no one answer. There's no one politician. We're way, 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 way past that point. Whatever party you believe in, sorry, they're not going to fix it. I hate to break it to you. And I think we've seen the disillusionment of most Americans. But what does the disillusionment ultimately serve? Time will tell on that, too. Maybe they'll end up standing for a change, or maybe they'll just sit at home and watch E! News and forget what's going on around them, which I understand the people who want to completely not have anything to do with politics and think about politics, because it's so absolutely absurd. It is total theater. But at the same time, you should at least be aware of what the madmen in D.C. are doing in your name with your money, because the time always comes where they're going to drum up some fear. And that's when you need to know what's truly going on, is when they start pushing fear down the regular man's throat. And that happens every few years, and because they've got a new thing that they want to do. And as long as they have enough fear promoting whatever it is they want to do, then everybody's going to go along with it, because fear is what makes the world go round. And it's ultimately what keeps all this in motion, is fear. Because when you talk about these things, whether it's ISIS, terrorism, they just go, well, you don't want this terrible, horrendous thing to happen to you, do you? And then people's like, well, no. All right, so let us do this. And that's what they say. And that's the reason why I think Saudi Arabia is so, like, the thing that has to be tackled first, is because there is no, well, you want this to happen. It's like, but they're doing what you say everybody supposedly we're attacking does. Why are you funding this? And again, it goes to show how hypocritical they all are. But there is no fear. There is no fear and motivation to say we have to continue supplying Saudi Arabia with all this stuff. There's none. There's no fear they can use on the American people. The biggest one we had is 9/11. They were involved. You can't use that. So until you tackle that, like I said, I don't think anything for the betterment of mankind is going to get done. And it's just going to be for the betterment of somebody's pocketbook, or for some bottom line, or from a stock price of a corporation, and for the careers of politicians. They're not serving humans. They're serving themselves. And that's questionable if a lot of these people are humans. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going out.
Well, it's gotten down to a point where there's two words that the government uses, and that's supposed to end every single conversation. Those two words are safety and freedom. That's it. You have any kind of problem, any kind of argument that you want to make about the government, that's usually when someone who is deeply rooted in statism and is either on the right side of the fence or the left side of the fence and waves their American flag and mom and the apple pie and the whole bit. You know, that's what it ultimately boils down to. Don't you want to be safe? Don't you want to be free? We live in one of the freest countries of the world. You know, if the government wasn't involved in that, it wouldn't be safe. They'd have all these people doing whatever they wanted to, just safe. And that's a lot of these issues that we discuss, the drug war, for instance. I mean, that whole thing is based on safety, the whole entire thing. And what about our women and children?
Oh, you know? But listen,
ultimately, when you sit and listen to congressional hearings and this, that, and the other, ultimately, that's what it boils down to. When they suddenly notice that the cameras are still on them, there's suddenly, well, you know, well, if the government wasn't involved, then we wouldn't be safe. If government wasn't involved in this situation in this foreign country that did not attack or aggress us in any way, but we have boots on the ground there, well, those people need to be liberated. They need to be free. And we're doing it for the safety of the American people, too, because, you know, those people could get on a boat or on, God forbid, an airplane and come over here and start to multiply and assimilate our the American way.
Oh yeah, and they sell freedom. So much of this is could and if. You know, those are their two. Those are
could,
the two.
Hey, it could happen. I could open my door up tomorrow, and there could be a whole host of werewolves in my front yard tearing my car apart.
We should probably pass a law about that.
We need to have some werewolf legislation. I've been saying that for years.
Because it could happen. And what if it happens? You're not going to be prepared, and you're going to regret it. And we can keep you safe. So
what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and tap your phone, tap your television, tap your computer, make sure that you have cameras and microphones on you at all points in time, and we're going to do whatever we can to keep you safe.
That's it. And
with your own money that we steal from you. Go ahead.
People voluntarily hand it over most of the time.
Oh, hand it over and wave a flag while they do it. America.
Well, don't you want roads?
And that's why I keep stressing that people need to start getting really pissed off about how their tax dollars that are being stolen from them are being used. I mean, you know, if you're going to wave your flag, then you really truly need to understand that flag that you're waving and what it really truly represents and what it stands for. Not only just us here in America, but all around the rest of the world.
And here's the thing. I know that the huge tax argument, right? And the whole back and forth with that. And you got one side saying, well, you know, taxation and stuff, which, you know.
That's it is. Don't pay it and see what happens. Is.
And then you've got the other. Oh, certainly. There's no question.
That's a gunpoint, I might add.
It's actually extortion, to be quite honest. It's more extortion than theft. But
I'll give you that.
But the sentiment applies. But then you have the other people that's like, well, you would never have this, or you would never have this, or you would never have this without government, without tax dollars. It's the price you pay to live in a civilized society. Look, those people are always going to be there. You're always going to have people saying that it's theft. Why can't there at least be some, for just before we address that conversation fully, why can't we just have common ground that says, hey, at least you talk about roads and you talk about, well, we need this. I mean, you wouldn't have this without all that. Okay, well, let's spend the tax dollars on that stuff instead of spending it on blowing people away, instead of spending it on subsidizing corporations, instead of spending it on taking over the world. Let's spend it on that stuff you're talking about, and then we'll talk.
Or spending it on a bunch of bullshit projects because somebody who donated a lot of the money to their campaign stands to benefit from it. Remember the Bridge to Nowhere?
Oh, well, there's millions of those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are. And every single bill that's passed through Congress, there's pork just like that embedded in every single one. Every single one. The sole reason is because that one person that was going to cast the deciding vote, or they were going to be able to sway a couple people. You can watch House of Cards and see how it works, because that's pretty much how it works. Once all of that stuff gets put into play and that bill gets put into passed, and the 20-page bill suddenly becomes a 500-page bill, well, that's what's in those other 480 pages.
And have you ever seen these, which I know you have, but they come out every year. They just make me laugh. And, you know, it's always like, $400,000 was spent by the Department of blah, blah, blah. You never heard of us. And we spent it on studying how monkeys react to watching SpongeBob at 3 p.m. versus 3 a.m. You know, and there's stupid stuff like that. And they spend all this money like funding this garbage. And you're like, what? Taxpayers are spending money on this? Whatever. People going to believe what they're going to believe. Right.
And again, that
doesn't make it true.
Those are small drops in the buckets, though, compared to, again, the Bridge to Nowhere. These million-dollar, you know, multi-million-dollar projects that are vanity projects that are going to benefit whatever contractor donated $50,000 to their campaign, and it's going to bring jobs in the area and yada yada, safety and freedom. I don't know. I had a tangent I was going to get on, but I don't recall.
Well, change it away if you feel like it. But people, like, that's what I said. People need to realize that they don't know anything. There's so much we do not know what's going on behind the scenes. You can study this every day. You can read every news article. You can listen to every politician. You can read every press memo. You can hear every rumor that comes out of DC, all this stuff. You still don't know what's going on, because that's the way the beast is set up. And we're never, ever going to know because there's so many backroom deals. And it's just people have to realize this. You know nothing. Nobody knows anything unless you're truly on the inside. And even then, I think people still know little because it's so compartmentalized. People know what they know about. And there may be a few specific things. But as far as everything, I don't think there is any way to know that is how deep it goes. I mean, we had George Bush Sr. talking about, said if they knew what we really did in Iraq, that they would chase us down the street and lynch us. I think I'm paraphrasing what he said, but this is what we're talking about is it's this level of corruption. And for you to go, well, my side, like, first off, I can't tell you the right answers, but I can tell you the wrong answer. And if you believe that, well, my party knows best, we can fix it. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're being played. You're being played against the other side. And you think a group of people in this country are stupid idiots. And you think that you know everything. And you don't. Just like the people that you think don't know anything, they don't either. And you're all being played against each other. And you're being taken around on a carousel, this huge carousel of distraction and ridiculousness, and you're talking about Jeff Sessions, or you're talking about Russia nonstop, while the real agenda is being carried on in broad daylight, but nobody seems to care because they've had their emotions affected, and, oh, I know everything, and their pride's been entered into it, especially with Trump. People's pride have entered into politics more so than ever. And I think that's also with the implementation yes, of social media. Because you have people putting their opinions out there that I think for thousands of years, it's stuff that people would never say to somebody else's face. And they're just, you know, they're going online and spewing whatever they believe. And everybody that they know sees it. And they're like, can you believe so-and-so believes this? And it's causing tension in the real world to a huge degree. I just see it as both sides being played against each other. And until we can address just basic, simple things like, hey, stop blowing people up, I just don't see it changing. Sorry, but I don't. And that, you know, that's probably not the most gung-ho we're going to change the world attitude, but it's the realistic attitude. It's reality. And I hope those things do change, and I'll do what I can in my power to help push the agenda that they do. But ultimately, there is a deep change that has to go on inside the inner workings of Washington, D.C., and inside the inner workings of banking communities, the establishment, and corporations, and all this money that's being passed back and forth, and these favors that are being passed back and forth. Will it ever change, Shannon? I don't know. People seem to be waking up to a degree, but to what degree? I don't, you know.
And again, they're said that everyone is so highly distracted by all of this other stuff, even if they don't subscribe to one side or the other, even if they're one of those people that, like me, voted for nobody in this last election.
And that's who most Americans voted for.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the clear winner in this election. Nobody. And, you know, people have quietly, particularly in Washington, have quietly started to acknowledge it. Yeah, there's a lot of these quote unquote woke people out there. So how do we capture their vote? How do we appear quote unquote woke? You know, I've got the ultimate plan for any politician that wants to go that route.
I tell you what,
I don't recall.
Don't recall. For Shannon Madden, I am S.M. Gibson. Jake will be up next. We'll see y'all on Thursday. For UCY, Aim Time Media Radio, out. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.